Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we praise you for who you are. We praise you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for giving us this, even in its fallen state, this glorious world, beautiful creation, so many wonders that we see every day. We take them for granted. Father, they all come from your hand. Thank you for the life you have given us, and we praise you most of all for the new life we have in Christ Jesus through his sacrifice that we're going to be remembering in the way that he ordained this morning. We thank you for the privilege to gather as believers around the table to partake of the bread and the cup as a reminder and a remembrance and a proclamation of the sacrifice that Jesus made that day at Calvary. Father, thank you for eternal life. Thank you for new life now that we have and live by the power of your Spirit. Help us to enter into both of these things joyously as we worship together. Guide Pastor, fill him with your Spirit as he brings the message, and may our hearts be ready to receive it and to have it bear rich fruit. And as we gather around the table, may it be a blessed time of rejoicing in our wonderful Savior. We commit this hour to you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may
look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the last chapter, this little epistle that Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. Chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, beginning at verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. All right. I thought of what I forgot. Tomorrow I'm supposed to have cataract surgery on one of my eyes. I appreciate you praying for me that everything will go well for that, and I'm sure there's no reason why it shouldn't, right? Okay, so anyhow, that's good. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you and praise you for all your wonderful love to us. We thank you that we could be in your house on this Lord's Day and worship you together. And we pray that you will help us as we seek to understand your word, and be able to put it into practice in our life day by day. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives within us to guide us in the way we ought to go, and pray that we will follow his direction and follow your word. We just thank you and praise you for all that you are to us. We do pray, our Father, that you'll continue to be with each one. You know our hearts. You know what we're preoccupied about or whatever we're thinking about. We pray that you'll give us grace and strength to overcome any obstacle or anything that is in our way, and that we will honor you and magnify your name in all that we do and say. Thank you that we can have the Lord's Supper today and just rejoice as we think about our Lord Jesus and all that he's done for us in dying on the cross for our sins and being raised again on the third day. We just praise you and thank you that we have victory in Christ, and pray that you'll help us that we might walk in the Spirit and do your will. We pray, our Father, today for our country. We just pray, Lord, that you'll have mercy upon us as a nation. Pray for our leaders, that they will have wisdom and that they'll seek to lead us in the right direction. Lord, you know, we don't always appreciate everything they do, but we pray that you'll give them wisdom and direction and help us to love you and serve you and seek to advance the cause of Christ here in our nation and around the world. Thank you for all of our missionaries and the work that they're doing, spreading the gospel. Pray that you will continue to bless each and every one. May Christ Jesus, our Savior, be glorified. And we'll thank you for it and give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Saved by the grace of God, then he will
take them home. So like every church, however, they experienced difficulties, and they needed instruction to clear up their confusion in certain matters, especially, as I said, about the second coming of Christ. They had to get all of that straight, because, you know, the Bible talks about Jesus coming first in the air, takes the church, and we are raptured and go to be with him. And then 7 years later, he comes back to the earth to rule and reign in righteousness for 1,000 years. So they had to understand all that. Actually, you're a bit confused. You know, when you're reading in one place, it talks about the Lord coming. Which one is this? You know? And so Paul is seeking here to explain it. Explain that to them, along with some other things. He covers some other issues here. Like any group of people, they had some that were not as diligent as others. And so he's seeking to correct these things. So here, as we come to this last chapter, Paul gives them some final practical teaching that will also be helpful to us in all that he's seeking. Notice, first of all, here, Paul's prayer request. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. The great servant of the Lord, the Apostle Paul, also asked for prayer from ordinary Christians, ordinary people in the church. Even though he was a chosen vessel to spread the gospel, he needed the prayer of people. Pray for us. That's what he's saying. Certainly that's true. We all need prayer, don't we? For everything that we're seeking to do, no matter what our work may be. And Paul here is asking these believers to pray for him. You might think, well, he's such an important man. What kind of prayer for him? But did you notice he did not ask them to heal his body? He didn't ask them, you know, to make life easy for him. Nothing like that. He says he's praying that the word of the Lord may have free course. He was concerned that as he preached the word of God, that the Spirit of God would take that word and bring these people to know Christ and then to follow him, to live righteously, to serve him, and to do his will. So that's what he's asking for, that the word of God may go forth freely and be glorified, that the people would respond by believing and accepting Christ and following him. Well, that's the first question he answered. And he's asking them to keep that in mind, that the word of God may go forth and be freely given and received by many people around the world. In his ministry, that is. We think about it also with ours. We pray for our ministry. Certainly we pray that they, as they preach the gospel, that many might be saved, that many might come to Christ and know him and follow him. So here we have, he's saying that. And then the other request is, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. He says, this is the understatement, I guess, of the sentence. For all men have not faith. Unfortunately, that's true. If, you know, if we see that all around us, you know, sometimes we have a tendency, I think, to try to give people the benefit of the doubt and that kind of thing. But everybody doesn't believe the Scripture. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Christ. And they gave
the Apostle Paul a terribly hard time. He said that I might be delivered from unreasonable and wickedness. Think about that. I get these magazines from the martyrs, Voice of the Martyrs, and from some other groups talking about the terrible persecution that's going on. And you wonder, what in the world is wrong with these people? Are just going in and burn down the church, kill everybody there? Is that reasonable? What are these Christians doing? Trying to hurt these people. They're not doing anything. They are meeting together to worship the Lord, and they come in and kill them. That is unreasonable, and that is wicked. And Paul says, pray that I might be delivered from these people. They were constantly enemies. You remember one place they stoned him, and it seemed like he was dead. Afterwards, he got up into the town. But, you know, we need to pray. Pray for those who are serving the Lord, and pray for one another, that God might deliver us from unreasonable and wicked. They are all around. There's plenty of them. We need to be careful how we live our lives, and that we might be the kind of believers that we should be. This is Paul's personal prayer request that he asked for them. And then we see the next he says, but the Lord is faithful. Isn't that true? The Lord is faithful. He's always there to help us. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil? The Lord is there. He's always with us. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us, right? And we can trust Him to help us in whatever our problems may be, whatever situation we find ourselves, we can trust Him. The Lord is faithful. And how wonderful that is. Look with me, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And look at verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It says that He is faithful that promised. Do you know what the promises of God are? As we read the Word, we find out what He promises to us. He is faithful to keep every one of His promises. And we can rejoice in that. Look with me again to this beautiful passage in Lamentations. Lamentations of Jeremiah and chapter 3. Beautiful portion of Scripture. Chapter 3 and verse 21, start there. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust If so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to them that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Right? And he's always there to help us. And here, Paul is encouraging these believers with this. The Lord is faithful. We pray to him. Our prayers go up to him, that the word of God may go forth, and that we might be blessed, that we might be kept from all evil, to establish us, to guard us from all evil. And he says, I have confidence in you that you are obeying God's word. Right? That's the first thing he says. And that you will continue to be faithful. So this is a wonderful portion here. Thinking about that. And he says in verse 5 of our text, the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. He always comes back to that, doesn't he? Over and over again. Jesus is coming. Just like he came the first time. He's coming again. He promised. And we're looking forward to that time and knowing that he is, we can patiently wait for him. Or impatiently, perhaps. What do you think? Sometimes. And yet, God is always there. He's faithful to us. So here we find Paul's prayer for the believers. This is what he prays for them. That the Lord direct your hearts into his great love and into that expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus, that we might patiently wait and wait for him. This is called the blessed hope, right? That Jesus is coming to take us home to be with him. So Paul prayed that these believers would experience fully God's wonderful love for them and continue to look forward to his imminent return, the imminent return of the Lord Jesus. So he finishes his prayer, talking about prayer for himself and prayer for the church, for each individual, that we might be encouraged and helped. And then in verse 6, he talks to the apostles' command. See, as I say, there were some problems in the church. You know, even though it was considered a model church and Paul was relatively pleased with them, there were some things that needed to be corrected. And we find here in verse 6, notice what it says. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is a solemn command he's giving. That you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. He says, we don't want you to be divided. We don't want you going astray. We don't want you to follow someone who is not following the scriptures, the word of God. And it's so easy. You know, people can, you get all kinds of ideas. He says, don't do that. We command you. This is something important, that you continue to be steadfast in following the teachings that I have given to you. As Paul is saying here, that we have given to you. Don't go astray. Don't go after anything else. Don't be looking around for something new, right? We have the Word of God. We can follow that teaching. And so he's saying here to these people, this is a command, withdraw from the disorderly, those who are causing problems in the church and not following the apostles' teaching. He calls them traditions here in our version, but sometimes it's called teachings. It's the same idea, that which Paul has given to them, things which he has taught them. He says, be sure you continue to follow in the right pathway. And Paul exhorts them then to follow his example. Notice in verse 7, he says, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. So this is one of the problems that they had. Some people were living off of others, you know, and they were not doing the work. They had the idea, you know, Jesus is coming, therefore what's the use of me continuing to work? He's coming anytime, right? You don't think that, do you? Yeah, well, you might. He is coming anytime. We're waiting. But that don't mean that we can just not do anything, right? Just sit back on your hands and, okay, come on, Jesus, here we are. Well, that's what some of these believers were doing, and they were eating off of other people or living off of other Christians, you know, that were working. And so he says, don't do that. That's simple enough, isn't it? And withdraw from the disorderly. He said, we did not do that. You know, Paul was one. Now, he was a tent maker, wasn't he? And so he lived off of what he worked, his work. And he didn't depend. He didn't take anything from the others. Served in that way faithfully. He took care of his own needs. That's what he's saying here. So don't be disorderly and think that you can live off of someone else and not do your part. Okay? And he says, neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing. Okay. Not because we have not power, verse 9. He said, we could. He says, I'm an apostle. I could, but I didn't. To make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. He wanted to be an example to the church and to all the other believers, and so he was willing to do that. That was his choice. And he said, this is the way we should be. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. Notice this. You might think, is this harsh? Wait a minute. If any man would not work, neither should he eat. Right? Now this is talking about somebody, you know, that's capable of working and won't. It doesn't mean, you know, if someone is unable to work, that's different. But we find here, he said, this is one of the important things, that we should be responsible for ourselves as much as possible. The problem was, some of the believers, as I said, quit their jobs, simply waiting for Christ to come, and they were living off of other people. And there's a play on words here in the Greek. It says, not working at all, but are busybodies. Busybodies. What's a busybody? Do you know what a busybody is? And here we find Paul is saying here, they are, the idea is that they are busybodies who do no business. That's in the Greek what it's talking about. Busybodies who do no business. Okay. And let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Just a couple pages over. Verse 13. Well, yeah. And withal they learn to be idle. Now this is talking about the young widows. Paul says it's better for them to go ahead and get married. He says in verse 13, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So there we are. And Paul is giving them some teaching there. The other one is in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15. Well, let's read verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Boy, that's really something. Classified there with a murderer and a thief is the busybody. Wow. What do you think about that? He sounds like it, you know, it's something we don't need to be doing, right? Keep away from that. So the solution here that he gives us in verse 12, it says, "Now then, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Okay, there you go. "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed, that he might come back and change his way of living. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." See? So that's what he's saying here, the solution. Notice Paul issues this also as a command. He says, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that him, a person should live with quietness and without any argument or excuses, and go back to work and support himself." So that's what he's advising these Thessalonian believers. And then in verse 13 he says, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." Be not weary. It says, "In due time we'll reap if we," what? "Faint not." Just keep on doing what the Lord tells us to do. The rest of the church, he encourages them not to be discouraged, not to turn aside, but to continue steadfastly doing what is right. So, be not weary in well-doing. Do what is right. "If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." Not, you know, just, it's just to bring him back and help him to understand what's right. And then he says, "Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." So that's what he's saying here. "And obey, that he might obey the word of God and walk in righteousness." And then he concludes this epistle with this wonderful benediction. He says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." Isn't that wonderful? And you know, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, the Lord is with us. You know, we talk about coming into the presence of God when we pray or something. We talk about coming to the church to, you know, to enjoy the presence of the Lord. But do you know, the Lord is with you. No matter what you're doing, you know. And we need to just yield ourselves to him and say, "Lord, thank you for your presence, for your love, for your grace and your mercy. You're always there." He's with us. And we need to remember that. These believers needed to experience God's peace. They were going through persecutions. They were suffering in that way. And they needed the peace of God to fill their hearts, because they just didn't know what else to do. To obey the word of God, Paul says, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And that's what he always said. Paul signs his letter, it says here, in the usual way. He says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." That's his signature here. As the Apostle Paul, he wants them to know that it's really from him, and that it's authentic and authoritative. So some practical advice that he's giving to this church and helping them. And the most important thing is keep on keeping on, right? I remember Dr. Robertson from when I was in school. He's all, young people, don't quit. Just keep on. Keep on keeping on. That's it, right? And that's what we're trying to do. And I trust that each one of us will not give up. You know, it's not as bad as you think it is. Huh? Jesus is with you. He's there. All right, let's see. I had my bulletin. What did I do with it? I had it here on purpose so that I could sing the last song. Now, I don't